We are recording again, and we will take a roll call at this time to ensure everybody is back from the break. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Present.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I am Judy Chepius. We have reconvened at actually 10:52. Dr. King, meeting is yours.
Thank you. So going back to the agenda, we just finished agenda item 7A. 8A has no items. So that takes us to agenda item number 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters, review consideration for action. And so we have an initial review, case 2225, Jacob Berndl. Is Mr. Berndl on the call?
I am.
Hi, Mr. Berndl. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to read a little bit of information and some kind of some rules around an initial review, and then we'll have you introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background. We'll have Ms. Richardson give us a summary of the investigative report.
Sounds good.
Thank you. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review for complaint 2225, Jacob Berndl, PT. The matter will be heard by the board pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts an initial review. We'll begin with introductions. So board, we will go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Dr. Kelly King, professional member and the board chairperson.
Karen Bustillo, professional member, vice president.
Giovanni Leone, professional member and secretary.
John Hike, professional member.
Joshua Greer, public member.
And Joshua Barton, public member.
Thank you all. For those in the initial review, please be aware that we have read all of the materials that were submitted. The board will first hear a summary of the investigative report from Ms. Richardson. And when she is done, the board will ask Mr. Berndl, if you'd like to make a statement. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we'll ask that those speaking don't take time, please, to repeat information that we've already received. You'll be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, about 5 minutes or so. The board has a civil policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after being given the opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting room. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While you're free to stay, Mr. Berndl, and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking a non-disciplinary action such as issuing an advisory letter or an order of continuing education, offering a professional consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding this matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the case, I want to advise everyone that the initial review is audio recorded, and accordingly, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, please, and that only one person speaks at a time. And then lastly, as a reminder to the board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have questions that will help you better understand the case and take action, or potentially need more investigative report, we can talk about that. But at this point, if you feel like we have all that we need in order to resolve this case, either through dismissal, non-disciplinary, or consent agreement for disciplinary or non-disciplinary, please feel free to ask them. And so with that, Ms. Richardson, would you please give us a brief overview of this complaint?
Of course.
Complaint 2225, a little bit of background. Mr. Bernal was arrested on January 23rd of 2022 for super extreme DUI with a blood alcohol level of 0.205 at the time of his arrest. He did report his arrest on 1/31/22, so he did notify the board within the regulatory time frame. And he stated at the time that he was not working at the time of his accident/arrest. We then received notice from Mr. Bernal that he was found guilty of the DUI June 3rd, and he received court-mandated orders, and he states he has satisfied the court-ordered requirements, and we have received those documents. On June 28th of this year, the board met in open session regarding the complaint, and following deliberation, you issued Mr. Bernal an interim order for a substance abuse evaluation, which was received, that was completed and received on 9/28/22. And the statement by the evaluator regarding Mr. Bernal's safety to practice was received subsequently on 10/15/22. Bernal was provided an opportunity to review the statements or the evaluator's assessment and provided a subsequent written statement, which we included as a late receipt, and that was in your board materials listed. He provided it on 10/21, so you have his response to the alcohol abuse evaluation for further consideration. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Bernal, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, yes. Sorry, my video
is not working. I got a new laptop, so the preferences aren't set up. But, yeah, I'm Jacob Bernal. I'm a PT down in Tucson. Been practicing for 2 years and some change. And, yes, I had a DUI back in January of 2022. Prior to this, never been in trouble with the law, never had any issues. And, you know, I'm taking ownership for my mistake and I feel remorseful for my actions. What was stated too, I completed the majority of the court and MVD based orders, currently still completing the MVD based orders, which includes a breathalyzer in the car for 6 months to a year, which I have not failed once. And then as well as, you know, did the mandatory hours with respect to, you know, DUI education, MAD courses, as well as traffic survival school. I did complete a screen as well prior to the DUI education. And that was with one Alexis Gray, which she basically stated verbally that, you know, I don't think you have a problem. I just think you need the mandatory 16 hours. And she didn't recommend further treatment, which she had the ability to do if she thought otherwise. From that too, you know, I just want to say I do have a good support system. Got loving parents, you know, who've been very supportive through this whole process, as well as great siblings, colleagues, friends, you know, that have helped me through, managing my stress in numerous ways, as well, through exercise, journaling, speaking with friends and family, as well as, you know, with respect to one of the recommendations per Dr. Kai, which was finding a counselor, which I'm currently in the process of doing. I got a list from my medical plan on Monday, and I'm going to call some today to get that set up. But with respect to, with respect to the actual results, can I speak on that in this as well? The results of the assessment? Okay. Over the assessment. Yeah, I am able to. Okay. Just checking.
Yes.
So with respect to the results, I just found some specific issues with kind of what he wrote in more of the history, as well as some of the results were confusing. It was a quick evaluation. Honestly, it took 25 to 30 minutes tops. He basically took a quick history and then told me to get blood and urine testing done. So there were no other assessment tools utilized besides the, like, a drug panel as well as the urine test. Some of the verbiage was kind of interesting, right? Like I said, I abstained from, 2 months from alcohol following this incident, which I wanted to do just to make sure that I could abstain from alcohol, which was really easy to do. I only returned to socially drinking on the weekends, cognizantly when I felt safe to do so, and obviously in a safe manner as well. And I want to, you know, make note that I don't want that to misconstrue that, you know, I, you know, abstained and then went directly back to it because I was craving it, because I was not. As well as the test was somewhat confusing. The one test in particular, that was, everything else was clear with respect to all drug-based things. The one test in consideration that I was confused on from the LabCorp report was the phosphatidylethanol test. There were no clear indicated ranges, which I was confused about. It just basically stated anything above, you know, the 20 nanograms per milliliter was more that detection limit. And I just didn't know what the ranges were. And so I found some sources, more than happy to speak about those sources I found that indicated potential ranges and what those ranges mean. You know, I was just more so confused, you know, and I just want to let everyone know that, you know, despite, you know, this biomarker being present in my blood, you know, I was drinking socially and safely, you know, past this DUI. You know, I, you know, had this, the consideration of others as well as my own safety in mind. I made sure to call ride service. I always made a plan prior to going out. And I just also want to, you know, make it known that I would never consume any intoxicating substance before or during work hours. And I continue to practice ethically as well as to the best of my ability, just like I did prior to my DUI. And that's why I included some of those character statements to show, you know, I'm not drinking at work, nor do I drink prior to work. I take my work seriously, and I do enjoy being a PT, and I love helping my patients.
Thank you, Mr. Brunel. Would you be okay and willing to answer questions on the board?
Yes.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Brundle? Mr. Brundle, I do have a quick question, a couple of them actually. You, in your response, yeah. You said that you were in the process of reducing your alcohol consumption to just the weekend. Tell me what that process of reducing your alcohol, what does that look like?
So usually that usually looks like I'm still hanging out with my friends. I'm usually looking for more alternatives, right? So I'm more so, you know, drinking sparkling waters or doing some of that stuff, as well as non-alcoholic beers. There's tons of good beers on the market that are non-alcoholic in nature, are very low, like 0.005% ABV, things of that nature. And then, you know, just kind of more delving into more of my hobbies, right? Like I love to mountain bike. Love to be outdoors, love to exercise. So I'm kind of more so gearing, you know, my social activities towards that in a sense versus, you know, going out for dinner and drinks on the weekends like I was prior, as well as, you know, being downtown.
Okay. And then I read in the report there was a mention that on alcohol consumption history that according to it, your last alcohol consumption was 48 hours before your addictionology evaluation.
Correct. It was on the Sunday because it was the weekend of a holiday. So my last drink was on that Sunday. We had Monday off, and then the evaluation was on a Tuesday.
Okay. And then Alexis Gray, you said that she verbally said you have no issue. Do you have anything in writing? Do you have a written assessment from her or any kind of written evaluation of her findings?
So I was, I called over on the weekend. I was unable to call yesterday due to work. But let me pull it up quick and see what it states. So there was no actual specific statement besides what assessment tools were utilized, as well as the recommendations that she put forth. There was multiple spots for, okay, this individual needs education as well as DUI treatment, or this individual just needs the DUI education only. Or if there was any other recommendations per her, she was able to place that on the form. More than happy to supply that to Ms. Richardson. And I can always call over and see if she's willing to put in a statement about that as well.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Rundle?
I'm on mute. This is Mr. Greer.
Hello, Mr. Greer.
Do you disagree with Dr. Kai's diagnosis of substance alcohol use disorder severe?
I do disagree.
Okay. And what's the basis of your disagreement? I've read your letter, but I just want to make sure I understand it.
Yes, so I didn't know what the DSM-5 was, right? I was never taught that prior to a potential psychology course in undergrad. So I went and looked at it, specifically looking at the behaviors and kind of the pieces that he was looking at. And to be severe, it was six or greater behaviors present within the DSM-5 for substance use. And I honestly, to be honest with you, I could only pick out maybe two-ish that were potentially specific to me. So I was just more confused with how he came up with that. And none of those questions were asked. He just based it off of our quick history as well as my alcohol use. So I'm not trying to discredit him, but I was just more so I didn't understand it personally.
You would agree with me that you're a little biased in this analysis?
Of course.
Okay. And you understand that as a board charged with protecting the public, we have to kind of take this evaluation seriously.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you were in our position, if you had somebody who the professional says he's safe to practice if he's monitored?
I would agree with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Gere. Are there any other questions for Mr. Bundle?
No questions.
Thank you.
Jacob, this is Mr. Barton. One of the things that I noticed is in the assessment, the physician said that he thought you were minimizing the severity of your alcohol or drinking behavior. Is that an assessment that you would agree with?
You know, I gotta say, you know, the averages, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. I don't necessarily think I'm minimizing it a ton in a sense. Sometimes I'm out with friends and sometimes I drink more than that 1 to 4. I'm going to be honest with you on that. And sometimes it's less.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And just to confirm your statement, alcohol consumption is only on a Saturday or a Sunday.
So it's Friday or Saturday for the most part. Unless there's a holiday, then I potentially would have a drink on Sunday. If it's social, right? If I'm out with friends.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions for clarification? All right, Mr. Brindle, this concludes the interview process and questions with you. So we're going to go into our board deliberations and, again, ask that no further questions or comments be made of us, please, while we determine any potential action.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mr. Greer. I would move that we offer the licensee a consent agreement to enter into our monitoring program for a period of 5 years and any other conditions recommended by staff consistent with Dr. Kai's evaluations. If the licensee does not agree to that consent agreement, I would bring him back for an informal interview.
For an informal hearing?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm hearing you say is 5 years of monitoring in the substance abuse recovery program as well, participation?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Patient in that program for 5 years.
And I'm assuming part of that program is random alcohol testing. Generally speaking.
I don't know what the program entails. It's something that we've done before.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we're past the confidential portion of the program, but it would mirror whatever the confidential treatment program is.
Mr. Harris, really quick question, sorry. Before we move into disciplinary consent, is this disciplinary, Josh?
Well, this would be a consent agreement. It would be a disciplinary consent agreement.
Okay. So then do we need to do findings of facts and conclusions of law before we move into a disciplinary consent agreement?
I'll answer because Mr. Harris is on mute, but this is an initial review, so if we're going to enter a disciplinary order, we'll have to bring him back.
Got it.
Was that right?
Well, we can offer him a consent agreement. That consent agreement should contain findings of facts and conclusions of law, and then whatever terms of rehabilitation you think is appropriate. And then if not signed, it sounds like you want to bring him back for an informal hearing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if it's okay, Mr. Greer, maybe what we can do is I can go through kind of like a laundry list of possible terms to put in there. Mm-hmm. And well, let me back up. I think the findings of facts would be, you know, kind of as set forth in the initial investigative report, the self-report, the evaluation. Is that correct?
Yes. Are you going to point direct me to the laundry list of terms that I have available in my materials?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm kind of punting on this one. I was kind of leaving that. The only term I care about is participation in the recovery program. That's the only one that I care about. I want this licensee to get the help that he needs to be able to practice safely. We have an evaluation that says if he is monitored, he is safe to practice. If he's not monitored, he may be a danger. So that's the only term that I care about. But I am happy to give staff wide latitude in including any other terms that the staff feels appropriate. Is that too much of a punt, Mr. Harris?
Not only is it a punt, it's a great punt.
Okay.
It's like, you know, went out of bounds on the 1 yard line.
Perfect.
Solid 60 yarder.
Yeah. But what we can do is certainly what you want to do is incorporate the recommendations of the evaluator.
Yes.
And then, it sounds like you want to also incorporate the standard provisions, and the standard provisions would be, you know, some sort of ongoing therapy, which it sounds like he's already initiating. Some sort of participation in a recovery program, a relapse prevention program, biological fluid testing. The one thing though that I don't know that you would want to include, which is generally included in all the provisions, is the,
the inpatient portion?
Right, yeah, there wouldn't be a need for the inpatient.
I don't think we need that here.
I was thinking more in lines of there's generally an abstinence provision.
Well, I would leave that up to him as in his counselor. I don't want to be dictating his treatment here. I think the way I would write it is he'd follow the recommendations of his counselor.
Okay.
And Mr. Gary, you had initially mentioned 5 years for a length of time of 5 years.
That came from Dr. Kai's suggestion.
I think if we're going to go with his recommendations, we probably should.
And you could include in there, an opportunity for early release after, you know, 3 years or 4 years, whatever you deem appropriate.
I think those are all great terms that you can discuss with the licensee. I don't want to really dictate those terms. And if I have to see the consent agreement again to approve it, I'm happy to do it. But what I really want is we have this. I want to encourage the licensee to enter into this consent agreement because, and I'm not saying, you know, he may present at the informal hearing another evaluation of another doctor, but right now I'm looking at this evaluation
And if he's not monitored, I'm starting to think about interim suspension if we're not going to go there. So I want to encourage licensee to enter into treatment, to get some help with this issue. I tend to agree with Mr. Barton that and Dr. Kai that this may be a minimization of the treatment, and we've seen it before before this board. But and so I want to be as flexible as I can with Mr. Harris and our staff to allow them to reach an agreement with the licensee to get this done. So I don't want to dictate too many terms. I'd rather just be more flexible.
Mr. Greer, would you entertain, though, putting a pretty quick turnaround on the signing of this consent agreement and moving him into treatment versus prolonging it and him continuing to practice?
I think we need to come back and see this next month at the latest.
Yeah. And just, Madam Chair, members of the board, the next board meeting, and Judy, correct me if I'm wrong, is early because of the holidays, so it is November 15th. And maybe what we can do with Mr. Berndes, and I hope I pronounced his last name correct, Jacob, sorry if I didn't.
I've been calling the licensee just to avoid that very thing, so...
With his consent, we can either present to you a consent agreement that he's signed for your review, or we can schedule the informal hearing for that meeting.
Would we consider summary suspension until we, if he doesn't, in that time period between not signing and coming back before the board?
It can certainly be agendized for your consideration at the 15th.
Okay. Thank you.
But hopefully, based upon the conversation that the licensee has heard, we will be able to present to you a consent agreement for your approval.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have what you need from us, Mr. Harris?
I think so. I'll also include Mindy and Judy on that as well.
Yeah, Mindy and Judy, do you guys have what you need from us? I'm seeing a nod from Mindy.
Yes. I think at this point, all we have left to do is vote on the motion.
We have a second. I don't know if we got a second.
I don't know that we got a second.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Bustillo signed it.
Okay.
And I take that back. Is there an expectation of once we craft the consent agreement? Well, I guess it would have to be signed by the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So we would present to you on the 15th a signed consent agreement with terms, which would include he is under active counseling.
Do we need to approve it because we're not being specific as to the terms, or can we have it signed, Mr. Harris, before we view a final?
Because we're left with some discretion, we'd like to bring it back to you for review and approval, just to make sure we haven't missed anything, and that you're comfortable with the terms that we have initially agreed upon.
Mr. Harris, would it be appropriate as part of that consent agreement then to require Mr. Bernal to begin engaging in the counseling now prior to the consent agreement, or is that something that's outside our ability and jurisdiction?
Well, we don't have the ability to order him to, but just by making that comment, Mr. Barton, hopefully he will be motivated and show his good faith to you by taking the steps even before it's finalized. Hopefully he's taking good notes.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want to ask him for his thoughts on this and, you know, what steps he's, you know, willing to take between now and the 15th.
I think that would be helpful. Mr. Greer, I don't know how you feel about it, but it would make me more comfortable, especially since we're going to have to approve that consent agreement. If we got at least something, you know, some kind of an idea where Mr. Berndel stands on this.
And Mr. Barton, let me tell you what I'm thinking. I don't want the licensee to think this is my way or the highway type of offer. I want to include as much negotiation and flexibility into the offer. And I don't necessarily know that the licensee knows what exactly we're looking at now. And so, you know, I have no problems with you asking. I don't think it's going to change my mind. And I think we should just vote on the motion because I got a second unless Karen says, no, we want to do it. I don't think it's going to change anything. And I don't want to lock us or the licensee into any positions that upon reflection, they may say, you know what? I wish they wouldn't have put me on the spot there. And so those are kind of my thoughts on it. But
I'm sorry. I'm not opposed to that. And I actually agree with you, Mr. Kerr. I think the only thing that my inclination would be is to say, you know, I mean, if the licensee is willing to go get some help, that's my concern is that I'd like that help process to start sooner rather than later, frankly, just because, you know, especially with a 5-year suggestion, obviously, yeah, the sooner we start that, the better. But I agree. I don't want to force anybody into a position where either from a negotiation standpoint or from a discussion standpoint, we cause a problem.
While you're thinking about it, five-year one, it comes from
Yes.
And two, it's just based on my experience in working with these types of individuals, mm-hmm, 5 years, because, you know, it's easy to say, hey, I'm okay for a couple of months. I screwed up really badly. Mm-hmm. You need the time, you know, to really process a recovery.
Well, and I think on top of that, just again, I can't help but think that I'm going to be evaluated by an addictionologist and I drink 48 hours before I go in. It just makes no sense to me. So I think that there's definitely a sense of urgency to get him some help, to hopefully he'll embrace that he needs help, and help him practice safely, as a PT.
Let me ask it this way then. Jacob, would realizing that we are going to negotiate the terms of this separately, if we were to offer you a consent agreement that was to request that you go get some help like what we are discussing, would that be something you would be open to?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's all we need to know at this point. I'd rather not tie you down, Jacob, to anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably enough. Okay. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, Judy, you want to call the vote?
Yes. It's been moved and seconded to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law set forth in the investigative report and to offer Mr. Berndahl a consent agreement to enter into substance abuse monitoring for a period of 5 years, to incorporate the recommendations of the evaluator to include counseling and recovery programs, also incorporating the standard provisions to be drafted by staff and negotiated with Mr. Berndahl, and return to the board at the next regularly scheduled board meeting on November 15, 2022 for approval. There is a possibility.
Judy, we are not adopting the findings of facts and conclusions of law right now. We haven't made any findings at all. This is an initial review. We are offering him a consent agreement based on those findings of fact and conclusions of law. But if he doesn't accept a consent agreement, we'll have to make that finding at a later time. Am I right, Mr. Harris? You're unmuted, but you're nodding, so I think I was not right. So.
I'm new to this Zoom kind of technology. I apologize. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Then let me restate that for the record. So we are offering a consent agreement based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law set forth in the investigative report to enter into a substance abuse monitoring program for a period of 5 years to incorporate the recommendations of the evaluator including counseling and recovery programs, also incorporating the standard provisions to be drafted by staff and negotiated with Mr. Berndl, and returned to the board at the next regularly scheduled board meeting on November 15th, 2022 for approval. Is that sufficient? Is that accurate? Okay. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Berndl. The staff will be in touch with you for next steps.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Judy, do you want to stop and start recording? Or just keep going?
Yeah. Well, let's stop it.
Okay.
A minute. Okay, so we're going to stop and start at 11:28.